Hello everyone and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this episode, we have Laura from Own Your Birth with us, who's come on the podcast to share her positive hospital birth story. I'm so excited to catch up with her. She's also a fellow hypnobirthing practitioner, so I'm sure she's going to be sharing what kind of tools she used from the world of hypnobirthing with you. Get comfortable and enjoy. Laura, we're so excited to have you on. Do you want to just share a little bit about who you are and why you want to come on and share your story?
Yes, hi. So I'm Laura. I'm from Own Your Birth. Very excited to be here today. Thank you, Poppy, for having me on the podcast. I'm here today to talk about hypnobirthing and my experiences. I had a home birth back in May 2020 with my little boy, and it was the most positive and empowering experience. And then I got pregnant again, my little girl, last year, assuming I would be able to have another home birth. But unfortunately, due to COVID and restrictions and midwife shortages, I was told I'd have to go into hospital. It was something that I was quite nervous about. What I want to say today is that it was still a really, really positive experience. I still used all the tools and techniques that I'd learned through hypnobirthing, and I had a really great experience in hospital. I'm so passionate about hypnobirthing that I've actually recently qualified as an instructor, and I think it just needs to be shared with everyone. So I just want to talk about that today.
Amazing. So where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about a bit about your pregnancy or launch right in with your story?
I think I'll start by talking about my pregnancy first, because it was in my pregnancy that I found out I wasn't going to be able to have my home birth. I was having my midwife appointments and I was finding out that they weren't actually doing home births in my area at the time. So I was quite early in my pregnancy when I found this out. So I was like, oh, it'll be fine. By the time mine comes around, I'll be able to have the baby at home. But it just so happened that I think I was 38 weeks pregnant, and I was checking online and I still couldn't have her at home. So I thought, right, I need to prepare for a hospital birth. I was quite nervous about going in. So I went and I actually looked at the midwife suite and the birthing pools in the hospital. And that was a really positive experience. I really recommend doing that to anyone who's going into hospital that perhaps wouldn't prefer to or isn't sure what to do. The environment was lovely. The midwives were so nice. And they were like, set it up as you want, bring your music in, you know, put your tea lights out, or all these things. And that really reassured me, because it was almost like a home from home, which is what I wanted. So I was sort of came away from the hospital really positive and thinking, right, home birth's off the cards. Let's just make this what it is. You know, I've got all my tools, all my techniques. I know how to do this. I can do this sort of thing. So that was a really positive thing.
Laura, do you mind me asking, what inspired your home birth with your first?
What inspired it actually was that we were all in lockdown. Sorry, when I was 30 weeks pregnant, and I found out that I was possibly not going to be able to have my husband, my birthing partner, with me when I was going into labour. And that was quite a scary thought, not because I'd done hypnobirthing. I hadn't even looked at it at this point, 30 weeks pregnant. I didn't really know anything about it. But I found myself at home with not much to do. And I picked up a few hypnobirthing books. I think I saw something online and somebody was doing it. So I just thought, oh, well, I might as well read some hypnobirthing books and see what it's all about. And I'm not kidding you, the minute I picked that first book up, it was just like a light bulb moment. And this feeling of, why has no one told me this? Why do I not know all this about my body? I was almost like, imagine I went into labour not knowing this, not knowing what happened.
I had the exact same experience. Yeah.
Mind blown. Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, this, you know, why aren't we taught this in school? I genuinely feel like that about it. It's crazy to me. So I decided that I just read these books, and it was just like, you need to be safe. You need to be unobserved. You need to be calm. You need to be relaxed. And you don't want, you know, all these things to put you off. And I was like, well, where do I feel like that? Where am I most happy? And it was at home, you know? So I sort of thought, right, I'm going to ask my husband over tea tonight what his thoughts are of this, thinking he'd be like, no chance. But he was like, he knows that I'm quite, when I've got something in my mind that I want to do, that, you know, I'll go for it. And I think he knew how much I'd been reading the books, and he was like, well, let's go for it. Like, you know, and I got him to read certain chapters of certain books, and I said, you know, I really want you there. I really want you to be with me when I have the baby. And I was just nervous about, you know, I think at the time your husband could only come in, or your birthing partner, sorry, could only come in when you're in active labour. So for me, I didn't really know how I'd feel like when I was in active labour. So I just wanted him there through the whole thing. And I had a really supportive midwife, and she said to me, you can do it. If we have any inkling that something's not right, then we take you straight into hospital. And I'm really lucky that my hospital is literally 5 minutes down the road. So I just thought, I hired a birthing pool, and I just didn't let myself feel negative about it. You know, I just said to myself, I can do this. And yeah, it was amazing. And do you know what? It's actually taken me a while to speak really positively about it. I think a lot of people were saying to me at the time, like, are you mad? You know, are you sure? Is that safe? And I was like, I just didn't say much. I just sort of brushed it aside because I didn't want that negativity for a start. But also, I don't know, I just didn't say much. Just people would be like, oh, are you nervous to go into hospital? And I'd be like, oh, I'm having a baby at home. It wasn't something I was sort of saying freely because I just didn't want people's opinions.
People like to give their opinion. That's one of the hardest aspects of planning a home birth is dealing with other, like with Juniper. I think a big reason why I didn't for the first was because I was, Tom's family are doctors, and they would, they 100% would be, you know, of the mindset of going to hospital. What, you would never forgive yourself. Like that whole thing, they just wouldn't get it. And I just thought, you know what, dealing with that is going to be so hard. I'd rather just go, do you know what, go in. Yeah. And plus, I think I couldn't get rid of those deep-seated fears that are embedded in us.
No, definitely. And I think it's a lot. You naturally think, you know, you're brought up with media and with birthing stories from your families. And it's just like, oh, yeah, it was painful, but you were worth it. That sort of thing, isn't it? And it is painful, let's be honest. It's not, there is pain involved. But yeah, that's why I went for the home birth. But obviously couldn't have it second time around, but I kind of saw it as a bit of a challenge. I was like, right, I can do this. I can use my techniques. And I remember saying to my husband, actually, I said, right, when we go into hospital, I want to put a face mask on and put headphones in and listen to my birth playlist. He was like, well, how are you going to get into the hospital like that? He was like, I'm not guiding you up the stairs like that. You know, joking, really. He is very supportive. But I think I was very worried about the transition from home to hospital and how my environment changing would slow things down. That was probably my biggest fear.
Absolutely. So I think I would have announced this by now, but I'm pregnant again.
So
we just had a little chat.
Yeah, congratulations.
And I think this is also why when you reached out to me, I was like, oh my God, this story is important for me right now, because I'm really worried about my potential home birth being taken away from me. And I really wanted to hear your inspiring story. But one of the biggest fears for me, like you, is, like you said, the transition from home to hospital. Mine is the home birth team coming into my space, and that transition from being in my zone in the space I've created to the home birth team coming. And there is a shift. Like, I don't know if you experienced that, but I've noticed with my clients that when they arrive, that there is an energetic shift. And I think that sometimes when they, you know, they introduce themselves to you and they're very well-meaning, obviously doing their jobs, I think that it can pull you out of the zone in the same way as your commute. Obviously not as intense, but that's one of my worries, is the disturbance, isn't it? Because we know that physiological birth doesn't like disturbances.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think the way I coped with that was my breathing. A lot of, you know, I remember my husband, I was like, well, you're going to have to park the car. I'm going to go into the hospital and I'm going to be on my own. And there might be people around. It might be busy. You know, it's going to be. And I was really nervous about that. But I just sat there and I concentrated on my breathing and I was okay. I was fine.
I also think having on your birth plan, I've got like a template in BirthBox, but the first bit, like a written summary of what you want. So if not being disturbed is very important to you, communicate that in the very first summary. So they know that you're trying to have a hands-off birth. You really are sensitive to disturbances. And like you say, focusing on your breathing. Let's get into the story, shall we? I really want to hear your hospital story and how it unfolded and what happened.
So it was actually the weirdest day. I was a week overdue for my due date, but I was trying not to let that get to me because we all know that it's not a due date. It's very, but saying that, my little boy was actually born on his due date when I had my home birth. So it was a funny one for me because I was 7 days over, I suppose, and I had a midwife appointment. And I just, in the back of my head, I knew that she would be encouraging me to have an induction, and I didn't want one. I just remember the day I went into labor, it was an awful day, lots of rain. I put my little boy's shoes on top of the car and drove off. Like, I just wasn't in a good headspace on that day. I was just a bit all over the place. So I went to my midwife appointment and I said, look, I really don't want induction. The baby was in a good position and I was feeling good. They went ahead, didn't have any concerns. And she said, you don't have to have one, but I'm going to book you in and you can turn up and just say no. So I burst out crying. I just felt really emotional. And I was just like, I became very vulnerable. I think I'd been so confident throughout my pregnancy, feeling good. You know, I did have pelvic pain and certain things and, you know, lots of other things that you have, lots of side effects of pregnancy then. But I was feeling good. And I said, I don't want to go in. And she said, well, I'm going to book you in and you don't have to have it. You know, you can go in and say no. And the way I was feeling that day, I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I'm crying in front of you now. You know, how am I going to feel in another 4 days' time? So I said, okay, booked it in. But in the back of my head, I was like, I'm not going to go, or I'm going to have had the baby. So yeah, she was like, go home, have a nice meal and relax. So we got some chips on the way home. So I was sitting there having chips and I was thinking, and I could feel the beginning of my surges coming on. It was literally like an hour later.
What, on the way home?
Yeah, no, we just got home. We sat down to having food. My little boy was there in his pajamas and he was having some chips with us. And I didn't say anything to my husband because I was like, well, I'm not going to say anything. But because I'd had the odd like little pain, you know, that week or whatever. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can feel, you know, when I felt like I knew that it was a surge, you know. So I could feel them coming on really lightly. So I just carried on having my food and whatever. And we were clearing away. And I said to him, I said, look, I think I'm in labor. And he's like, oh, and it's like, right, okay, let's ring your mom and let's do this, do that. And I was like, can we remember now? You need to keep calm and whatever. So he's like, yeah, right, okay. I'll go and pack Theo's bag. And the little boy, I'll go get his bag and you ring your mom. So I rang my mum, she came pick him up. And it was actually really quick. I think this was 6 o'clock. And by 7 o'clock, he'd gone. And I said, I need to get into bed. You know, I had a TENS machine. I really liked using my TENS machine, whether it was because it was taken away from the feeling of the surge coming, you know, or if it was because I was just focused on something else. I just liked having a TENS machine at the beginning of labor. So we had tea lights in the bedroom. I had birth playlists on, which I actually used the exact same playlist for my first birth. So I had these associations with these songs anyway, and I would listen to them in the bath all the time. And I just always felt relaxed, you know, like an anchor. Those songs were like an anchor for me. I had my lavender and I just breathed as much as I could. You know, it was the early stages for me. So that was all okay. And I think this was, you know, I think I just labored in my bed basically until about 11 o'clock. And they were coming quite strong. I felt like they were getting stronger at this point. And I was quite nervous because when I had my home birth, my waters went in bed. So my waters went in the middle of the night. I was having surges and my waters went. And after that, it was like full steam ahead. I wouldn't have been able to go from home to hospital. And I was quite nervous because one of the midwives actually said to me, I was like, you know, I really want to have my home birth this time around. And she said, well, what you could do is you could ring 999 and get someone to come out. So she was almost saying to me, you can't have a home birth technically. And I was like, what? That just didn't feel right to me. That was like ring 999. It's like not relaxing or calm. It's like,
so dramatic.
You know, yeah.
Not ideal.
Okay. Yeah. No, and not something that sat well with me. So I was like, well, I won't be doing that. But I also didn't want to give birth in a stressful situation at home. If I was going to do it at home, I really wanted the pool, basically. I really wanted to have to be in the water. So yeah, so the waters went in bed with my little boy. So I was really worried that if that happened, it would be like, I wouldn't be able to get into hospital. So it got to a stage where I was kind of really having to concentrate through my surges. And I, you know, I would really have to sort of concentrate on breathing through them. And then you can kind of come back round in between them and have a normal conversation, can't you? It's not constantly intense. So I said, right, let's just ring them to let them know we're on our way and that we really want a pool. So we rang them. They've only got 3 pools. So that was another thing I was worried about, you know, will I be able to have a pool? And when I'd been in to see the birthing suite, before, you know, when I was deciding on my hospital birth, there were only 3 pools available. So I think one of the things that was on my mind was, what happens if I can't have a pool? But when I'd been in to view the birthing suite, she'd said to me that had never happened. It actually never happened that there weren't enough pools of people, you know, they had quick turnarounds and stuff like that, but it's always okay. So I took that and I went in and I did get to have a pool. So got into the room. They said, oh, you know, we're going to examine you. And I was quite happy to be examined, to be honest. I'd been examined in my first birth. So I was quite happy for them to examine me. And I had a student midwife, and I was also quite happy for her to be in the room. I want more, as many midwives available as I can. So I was like, if I can do my part and let her be in the room, then that's fine. So she examined me and she said, oh, you're only 3 centimeters. And first of all, the word only really annoyed me, because I was just like, okay, I'm 3 centimeters. That's great. Can, you know, that I was really pleased with that. So she said, you're either going to have to go for a walk, or, you know, you're going to have to go home and come back. I said, oh, well, no, I'm not going home. I said, you know, I'm here now. My last labor progressed really, really quickly. I'm pretty sure if I go home, I won't be coming back, because I'll be giving birth. So the other midwife came in and she said, can I examine you? So I said, yeah. And she said the weirdest thing to me. She said, when you're contracting, can I keep my hands inside you? I was like, honestly, you're so vulnerable in these situations. So I was like, well, I don't want to go home. I don't want to have to go for a walk. Like, yeah, do whatever you want sort of thing. At the time, I was like, it's fine. And she sort of was prodding around a little bit, to be honest. And she said, oh, your cervix is really stretchy. She said, once you start dilating a little bit more, this baby's coming quite quick, I think. So yeah, you can stay. So it was like, relief. And I was like, right, I don't want any more of this now. I need to get back in the zone, you know. And I said, can we heat the pool up? Can I get in the pool as soon as possible? So she's like, yeah, I'll start running the pool. The pools take quite a long time to fill. So when I had the home birth, my husband was filling the pool straight away and we just kept it warm. So that was under our control. So I was a bit like, oh, I really want to get in. So anyway, we had the music going again. I just replicated what I had in my bedroom in the birthing suite, and it was low lighting. It was lovely. It was actually so nice. And I don't know if it's because it was the middle of the night, but it just felt really peaceful. I didn't really, even from going to my car into the hospital, I didn't see anybody. I kept my head down because you have to almost walk through labor ward to get into the birthing suite. So I just kept my head down, and I think I did have my headphones in actually. And I just walked to the birthing suite with my music on. I felt like it was okay. You know, it really was okay. So the pool started heating up. She said, don't get in yet. Wait till it's full. The TENS machine got to a stage where it wasn't really doing anything for me anymore. So I took it off and I said, I'm going to get in. So I got in and it wasn't even full enough. I was like, I just needed the water. I don't know what it was, but I just wanted to be nice and warm. And it just took things away from me. And I used gas and air as well. And I took in the first breath of gas and air. And for me, I don't know if you used it in your labor, but it took a few times for the gas and air to sort of sit right with me. Kind of made me feel a bit woozy to begin with. But I was like, no, I really liked it last time. So took a few breaths of gas and air. And she came in and she was like, oh, you're in. And I was like, yeah. So they filled the pool up. Yeah, I labored in the pool. And I felt a lot of pain through my left side of my body. I think they said afterwards that they think she wasn't fully in the right position. So she was kind of turned a little bit when I was delivering her. So yeah, my husband was really good. And, you know, he did like a light touch massage on me. And I would hate that sort of thing normally. I've got to be honest. I really wouldn't like being touched in that situation, but it just kept me calm. I had my music on, I had affirmations. And one of the affirmations that always resonates really a lot with me is, each surge takes you closer to meeting your baby. And I just kept saying that to myself. And I was almost in a mindset where I was welcoming the surges. You know, I really was just like, okay, that's done. I can tick that one off. That's gone. Okay, so breathe through. The next one's coming. And they were getting more and more intense. And I said to my husband at one point, I was like, this is just hard. Like, I can't do this anymore. It's getting too much. You know, it's really, you know, it's too intense. And he said, maybe you're going through transition. And I was like, maybe I'm going through a transition. This is why I'm my birthing partner. Because I really made him listen to all the hypnobirthing stuff with me, read the books with me. And I really needed that at that time. And I was like, and he was like, this is what you want. You want to go through transition. You want to feel, you know, that you're just about to meet. We're just about to meet Ivy. That's her name. And he said to me, we're just about to meet Ivy. And I was like, oh, it was overwhelming. Like, it makes me a bit emotional now, to be honest. I was just like, wow, yeah, I'm just about... it's going to happen really soon. So that brought me back and I was like, okay. And they were coming quite fast, but it was like getting closer to the stage for me to push. And all of a sudden, by this point, my waters hadn't gone. I hadn't lost my mucus plug. And I think this is about half an hour before she came. So she was born at 22 minutes past one. So this was probably about like 12:45. I don't know if it happened with you, but there was like time was just not a thing. And I had no idea how long I'd been in the pool for. I had no idea. Like, if they'd have said it was 6:00 in the morning, I probably would have believed them. But she was like, oh, it's like half 12. And I was like, I've been in a pool for like an hour and a half. Like, so shocked that it felt like longer. So yeah, this is about 12:45. And then all of a sudden I just felt her move down. I just felt her really sort of like sit lower down in me. And I felt like a pop, which was my waters and with my mucus pad. I actually can't remember which one came out first or which one went first, but it was within like 5 minutes of each other. They both sort of came out. One contraction, I think, is my mucus pad. The next contraction, it was my waters. So by this point, it was intense. It was, you know, it was full on. I was in the water. I had my gas and air, and I was just with my gas and air. And I said to, and it was just me and my husband, and I said, can you get the midwife to come in? Because I think I'm going to have to push you. And he was like, really? Like, that's really quick. And I said, can you ask her to come in? I just want her to there. I don't know why, whether it was because she was professional or what, but I just want her to back. And I think a lot of the time you do want to be left alone. You do want to be undisturbed. But at that time, moment in time, I was like, I want her there, and I want her to reassure me that, yeah, she's coming, sort of thing. So she was quite pleased, actually, because I think she was a student mayor. She's like, oh, she wants me in the room. So she came in, and I said, look, I think I need to push soon. And I think it's all coming soon. And she said, oh, you know, my mucus plug had gone and whatnot. So, but she said, oh, you need to, that, because I said, I'm not coping with it. Like, it was like a 10-minute period of transition, I think, where I was just finding it a bit much and I couldn't get back into my breathing. I was like, and she's like, okay, that gas in there is doing nothing for you. You're panting. She was like, you need to take long, deep breaths. And I'm not kidding you. The minute I started focusing again, it's like I'd forgotten. It was just like 10 minutes where I'd forgotten about everything, about breathing. And she said, right, long drawn, deep breaths. She said, you can do this. You've practiced this. So I took my long, deep breaths. I was just back to being sort of calm, in control. It was just amazing. It was just like how amazing breathing is, honestly. Yeah, so I was breathing well again, and it was like I couldn't not push. That's how I felt. It was just like an intense, like when you sort of not hold your breath, but I tried not to hold my breath because I was trying to breathe her out, but there was no way I could not be pushing. My body was just doing it. It really was just doing it. And I think I pushed for like, I think it says 11 minutes or something like that. It was like a few surges. And yeah, she was out. She was, her head was on the last one. And this was like a moment that felt like, when you talk about time distortion, this probably felt about like 10 minutes, but it was probably only about 10 seconds, where her head was crowning. Sorry if I'm going into too much detail here, but her head was crowning. I was like, when's my next surge coming? I need it to come because I needed it. Like, it was just like her full head was like half out, and I was like, I really need it to come because this is just crazy. And it came, and then with the next one, her shoulders came and she was out. And I was like, why was that surge so long? And Craig was like, it wasn't long at all. And she just came out, and she just looked the spit of my little boy. It was just like amazing. And she opened her eyes. Her eyes are just totally different to him, but everything else is the same. And she, both my children, they're not chubby babies at all. She was 6 pounds 12, and yeah, she was amazing. And she cried, and I just had her on my chest. I had her in the water, which is what I wanted. And yeah, it was amazing. I think quite quickly after that, then I got out because I wanted to deliver my placenta naturally. And I found delivering the placenta, again, this was another thing I was a bit nervous about, because when I delivered the placenta with my little boy, I just wasn't getting the contractions back. You know, they sort of say your contractions come back and you can push your placenta out. It just wasn't happening for me. And I think you're just so done by this point, aren't you, that you just don't want to be having more contractions and doing more things, you know. But I did delay cord clamping. So I let the blood pulsate as long as I could. Well, as long as it needed to. And then my husband cut it. And then they told me to get on the bed. They said, you need to deliver your placenta now. Get on the bed on your back. And I was like, trying to get on the bed was one thing, and you've just given birth. And I was on my back, and I said to the midwife, left the room, and the student midwife was still in there. And I said to her, this doesn't feel right to me. I don't know why I'm being put on the bed. I was like, I don't want to deliver the placenta here. And she was like, well, it's probably not the best position, actually. So she was kind of disagreeing with the other midwife. And I was like, honestly, I'm uncomfortable. Like, it's not going to come out. I almost feel like I'm closed up. So there was like a little bathroom attached to, you know, where the pool and the bed was. So I went in there, and I basically just squatted down on the floor, and I delivered the placenta in there. And then I could have a quick shower and stuff in there after, which was great. But that's difficult. And also then I breastfed my little girl. They say it's worse second time around, but you get surges again when you're breastfeeding, and they last a few days after. They were quite intense, actually, after having her. You know, that I found I needed gas and air again for them, to be honest, because they were quite, I was finding those quite a lot. So for me, it's always the after bit that is the least pleasant time. And I think a lot of that's to do with not being taught enough. I'd love to do some sort of postnatal education, to be honest. I'd love to teach that, because I feel like you're sort of prepared to give birth. You're all this, you know, you're through your pregnancy, there's classes, you know, there's a lot of stuff now you can access for having babies. And then it's like you have your baby, you go home, and it's like so much stuff happens to us women, doesn't it? It happens to our bodies. And I almost think that I wish there was some sort of education that would teach you about that, because the delivering the placenta and all that stuff that comes after, and the having the surges after you have the baby, and apparently it's worse second time around. I don't know why. All the other things, the bleeding and all that. I just think we could really be told a lot more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It always surprises me how many women don't know that they're going to bleed after birth. That's something that's really spoken about. But oh my God, let's just have a moment to absorb and appreciate what you've just told us. That story was incredible. Ah, okay. So one of the things that really stood out to me was how well you listen to yourself above anyone else. So, you know, from the moment of, I need to get in the pool, but it's not filled up yet.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to sit on the bed, it's not a good position. You go and squat and deliver your placenta in your power in the toilet, and then you have a shower. Like, you just constantly listen to yourself. There were multiple examples of where I really felt that you were plugged in to an inner source of wisdom rather than seeking from the outside. I mean, even the moment where you said, I want the midwife, like you really you really knew what you wanted. And I think that is such an amazing thing. And I think it's maybe a skill that some people have inherently, and they know what they want and they go after what they want. I mean, would you say that's you as a person?
Or I don't know. I've got to say, I feel like when it comes to having a baby, I feel like I've been quite different to how I normally am. My friends are like, you're not, because I can be quite a stressy person, but maybe for the wrong things. And they're like, you're the calmest you've ever been when you're pregnant. Like, I was, funny enough, I was actually, when I was going into labor, I've got a WhatsApp group with my closest friends. And I was like, I'm in labor, like, send them a picture. Like, oh my God, she's coming. And they were like, are you serious? Like, are you okay? How are you so calm? And I think, honestly, I practiced, and I feel you can learn about hypnobirthing, you can do a course, but for me, the most important thing to do is to practice. And I practiced quite a lot. You know, every day I was listening to my affirmations, I was doing relaxations, I was doing my hypnosis traps. And I think for me, I had told myself, I can do this. It's your body, it's your baby. Subconsciously, that was in my mind. I genuinely think
so
that
powerful.
I just think, you know, you've got to practice. And I just, I've never felt so empowered by, I did it. And I said, I feel amazing. Like, I just felt incredible. And honestly, it really, don't know if I've already said this, but it just took me so long to be able to say that. I felt almost quite, you know, you go to these mum classes and you go to groups and people would say, oh yeah, and I ended up having to, you know, and I ended up having to have, you know, forceps or cesarean. And you almost feel like, oh, well, I can't go and say, oh, my pregnancy was amazing. Like, you just shy away from it. And I realized how important it is to share positive birth experiences. And I realized that, you know, you do need to hear these positive ones, but often you just hear the negative ones. And I think, because when you're in situations like that, you don't want to go and say, oh, well, it was, you know, how was it for you? And I would just say, oh yeah, it was good. Like, I was really lucky, you know? And it's like, that's just what you're saying. It's like, yeah, okay, perhaps I was lucky, but I also set myself up and I gave myself the knowledge and everything to hopefully for it to be lucky. And I think I'm quite aware now when I'm trying to sell my hypnobirthing courses and stuff, you know, and I'm trying to educate people that I'm not selling that birth. I'm, you know, I can't tell you that you're going to have that birth, but I want to give you all the knowledge and stuff so that you can make your own decisions when they come up. I'm finding that quite tricky at the moment because I think it is hard. You know, yes, my birth experiences were incredible. It was still painful. It's still, you know, there's still all those things. I actually listened to your podcast the other day that was saying about the flaws of hypnobirthing. And I haven't stopped thinking about it, to be honest, because it's so true. It was amazing. Yeah. It's so true that, you know, and I've got friends that did hypnobirthing and they just feel like they failed. And I think that's awful.
You're sold this idea of the dream water birth. You've seen the Instagram images and you build that image up. But then you're also sold the idea that you can be calm, serene and controlled.
Yeah.
Birth is a very animalistic, primitive, and somewhat out of control experience. Like the moment that you were panicking in the pool is completely normal. But if you're someone who has practiced mainstream hypnobirthing, you will internalize that as, oh, I've lost the control.
Yeah.
Oh, spiral, spiral, spiral. Yeah. Next minute, you know, you're on a different path.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, yeah, I always talk about this, but my approach is very much to talk about it as pain. Most women experience it as pain, and you're really lucky to have a pain-free birth. I'm not sure if it's luck, but not many people are going to experience a pain-free birth. So in my view, why even aim for that? Like, why aim for the most hardest thing to do? And
one of
my South African friends who recently gave birth, I said, like, here's all the pain-free material. Like, I sent her all the various books, the podcasts. I was like, just do me a favor, just go and do it. Just do it as an experiment. I sent her a WhatsApp after her birth, after her labor, and I said, pain-free? ? And she wrote, sick in the head. She was like, sick in the head. She was like, don't even talk to me.
Yeah.
But it is that thing of, like, you know, it's intense, but you're built for it. Our bodies are made for it. But I would also say it's not for everyone. Physiological natural birth is not for everyone. Like, I went and met my friend yesterday who's pregnant. We went for a walk down the South Bank, and I was talking to her about, obviously, hypnobirthing and everything. And I was like, so what do you think about the epidural? Do you think you're, like, do you want that? And she was like, yeah, I'm kind of unsure, to be honest. Like, maybe. I said to her, I was like, you know, I think that if you want a physiological birth, I personally think you need to set about it like it's like the biggest mission of your life, like the biggest marathon, like it's a very intense endeavor. Like, I don't think that going, I'll see how I feel is going to set you up for that. So it's almost like, yeah, if you don't want it, then of course, like, be open to having the epidural and other forms of pain relief. But if you want a physiological birth, you have to set about it like it's a big thing, because it is. It's like a massive body event that requires full attention, full focus, proper education, knowledge and tools. It's not something you can go half in. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I definitely do. And I always think the comparison with, like, training for a marathon, you know, you wouldn't just go and run a marathon and see how you feel on the day. You spend time preparing for it, and you spend time educating yourself on the best way to get your best time or to feel good on the day, or, you know, and how to get your body ready for it, which is exactly the same for me as preparing for birth. It's such a big event. You know, yes, women have been doing it for a long time. Perhaps we're only, you know, people's education hasn't been as detailed as it is now, but, you know, it's important for us to know what's happening to our bodies so that when it's happening, we can be like, oh, that's what it is. It's like when my husband said, you're going through transition. And I was like, yes, I knew that because I've learned about that. And if I didn't know that, I'd probably been like, oh, I can't do it. Can you give me this? It's too painful. You know, give me an epidural, which, if that's what you want, that's absolutely fine. But, you know, for me to just come back to focus and breathe, that was enough for me. I didn't need that. So, yeah, I just think as long as you're educated, you can make the right decisions for yourself then, can't you?
That's it. And I always think, you know, even if you're not sure you want a physiological birth, why not plan for one just in case? We don't know if the epidural is going to work. We don't know how fast that labor is going to be. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. So it's always going to set you up for empowerment and strength through preparation. And I personally think, and I know you do because I can really sense your passion, but it's an amazing subject to learn about. Like, when I first found out I was pregnant with Juniper, I was like, right, I'm going to learn everything. I want to know, like, what's happening in my body right now, like from the cell divisions to just everything. I want to follow the development steps, you know, like a hawk. I want to know, like, what is the process of creation going on inside
me?
Like, do you know what I mean? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is. So, it's so amazing.
So when I went for this scan, so I went for an early scan. Obviously, people listening probably know that I had a previous loss. So we went for a scan. And so basically, I was 5 weeks. I can't remember how many weeks I am right now. But anyway, I was 5 weeks and 6 days when I went for this scan. I was like, do you know what? I'm going in and I want to look. I want to know exactly what this embryo looks like on the scan image. I'm not going to just lie back and wait for someone to tell me what's happening. I want to know how many freaking, like, mms it is, what it looks like, if there's a heartbeat, where is it? Like, I studied those scan images, like, and we went into this private scan. My husband was like, I felt like I was having, like, living someone else's life because of the way that I managed this whole meeting. And this man was like, you know, oh, we only do scans from 7 weeks. You're not even 6 weeks. We're really not going to be able to see anything. Well, I just said, well, I spoke to your colleague on the phone. They said you could do it from 6 weeks. So he said, well, let's just see what we can see, but I really can't promise anything at this stage. So he put the gel. They didn't do an internal. We would have seen more with an internal, but they didn't have it. So they put the gel on and I was like, oh, hold it there. Hold it there. So I'm literally directing him, telling him what to do. And he's looking at me and I'm like, there it is. There it is. And he's like, yeah, yeah, that looks like the fetal pole. And I'm like, yep. And I'm like, what's the measurement? And he's literally like looking at me like, fuck. Juniper's running around eating Watsip, stinking out his room. Then I'm like, can we look for the heartbeat? And he takes the thing off at this point. And he's like, look, I really don't think we're going to see a heartbeat. I'm like, just put it back on and let's see. Listen to me. Yeah. I said, I've had a previous loss. I'm coming here for answers. I want some reassurance. So he put it back. And then I was like, okay. I said, stop there. And I could see the flicker of the heartbeat. And I'm like, that's a heartbeat. And he's like, will it maybe? It might not be. Look around the rest of the screen. There's a lot flickering. So I'm like, well, if it isn't, I said, we'll move it off again and put it back and let's see if it's flickering in the same place. So he moves it off and puts it back and it's flickering at the exact same place. And I'm like, that's a heartbeat. I'm like, Tom. And Juniper's like pulling him arm. She's like, mommy. I'm like, Tom, look. And then I'm like, record it, Tom. And he makes me like, who the hell are these people? Tom's like, I saw your gangster side coming out. Anyway, so then he looks at me. He's like, look, I'm not allowed to say, because it's really early and I'm not allowed to say this, but it looks positive. So anyway, so then we walk out. Tom's like, what the hell just happened in there? And I'm like, yeah, but that's how I am. I'm not just going to lie back like a patient. I've come here looking for information. I said, if it weren't for me behaving in that way, we would have left not knowing if there was a heartbeat, because he wouldn't have told us. Like, we would have left not with reassurance. Anyway, it was hilarious. Right, we've diverged, but the moral of the story is educate yourself, ask the right questions, know what you're looking for. And have the right information so that you can navigate these conversations and experiences instead of like not knowing, you know, even the point where you birthed your placenta in the bathroom, you knew that position was going to be optimal, the squat position. Had you not, you would have laid back on the bed.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. And I just think like little things like that can change your birth experience so much, you know? And it's like, if you know that, then you can make the decision at the time. And I can't say it enough, because I just feel like there's like a fire in me that just wants to share all this information. And I just hope people want to listen to it, because I love talking about it. I'm so grateful for you to have me on here as well.
Well, I'm so glad to have given you a platform, because I think that you're amazing. And
thank you.
I also want to say that, guys, I'm going to hand over to you to talk about your in-person courses, but I don't run in-person courses. So I'm actually looking for hypnobirthing practitioners to have as like my recommended in-person experiences. And I would hands down say that you're brilliant, and that if anyone wants that in-person experience, I think that, you know, especially for your first birth, you can get immense value from working with someone in person over Zoom and getting that real connection, and someone you can ask questions to as well on WhatsApp and have that deeper level of support. You can also combine it with an online course as well. As you know, I've got my Birth Box course, but for those of you who do want that in-person experience, would you mind just sharing what you have on offer and maybe a bit about your approach and what makes you different?
Yeah, of course. So I am a hypnobirthing instructor. I do group courses. I keep them small because for me, that's important. I want to get to know the individuals and their partners and just really help them to become educated around birth. I'm also planning to offer one-to-one courses as well. So that can be in the comfort of people's own home. It can be, you know, wherever really suits them. The benefit of a one-to-one course is that it's really tailored around you. I mean, the general course content that I'll deliver is the same, but you can really sort of tailor it to that person's needs, especially, for example, if you've had a birth, not a very positive birth experience with your first and perhaps it's your second, and you feel a little bit unsure and uneasy. I can feel like I can really sort of work with those people to help them change their mindset and become more positive. I really, for me, practice is really important. So going away and practice it literally takes no time. It can be like 5 minutes in the morning. And I know we kind of think sometimes, oh, I haven't got 5 minutes, but I used to listen to mine when I was doing my makeup or when I was having a bath. And it would just be like have it on in the background. You don't have to fully listen to some of the hypnosis tracks when you're, you know, you don't have to be lying there and really sort of visualizing sitting in a chair, closing your eyes. You can just be doing everyday things just to get those messages into your mind. I think it's really important. And I just feel like I've got the passion and I've just got this. I'm actually a qualified teacher. So I used to be a primary school teacher. So for me, the teaching side of it, I feel like what comes quite naturally, and I'm so excited about it. So yeah, I'm on, just started TikTok. I'm giving that a go. I'm on Instagram and my website as well, which is www.ownyourbirth.co.uk. So, and I'm also offering a discount to any of your listeners. They want to register with me. If they want to come on one of my courses, email me or go through my booking form and reference Pop That Mama. I'll give them a discount as well. Also, I wanted to mention that I am hoping to do some online courses as well. It's all kind of coming together at the moment. So they can keep an eye on my socials, and I will be offering that in the future too.
Amazing. So what's the discount then on the course that you're offering?
So I'll offer a 10% off any of my courses.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Laura. I hope that lots of people reach out to you after this. Guys, if you've enjoyed it, definitely drop her a message. I know it's a bit dark on this podcast. I was just saying to Laura before we caught up that podcasting is this weird in-ear experience that no one really kind of lets you know how things have gone, like how the podcast has been received. But then we both agreed that we wouldn't message a podcaster anyway, so it kind of makes sense. But I'm sure Laura would love to hear how you received her story. All right, thank you so much. That was lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.